It's 14 minutes past seven and we're going to Melbourne and the sentencing of Adrian Bailey, the man who raped and murdered the Drogheda woman Jill Marr. As you may know, the case has led to soul searching in Australia about how someone with such a violent history, Bailey had more than 20 previous convictions for rape and assault, was at large. Our reporter Katrina Perry was in court and she's been bringing me through the proceedings just to let you know that some of the details in Katrina's report are upsetting.
Well, the sitting of court today lasted just about 45 or 50 minutes because obviously last week we had heard all the various evidence about what happened in the victim impact statements and so on. So today was a matter whereby the presiding judge, Mr. Geoffrey Nettle, delivered a statement, his judgment statement essentially. He recapped over the evidence that we had heard, the facts of the case, and then measured up the reasons why he was handing down the sentence he was handing down, which essentially was a life sentence for the murder charge and a 15-year sentence for the rape charge. When it comes to a life sentence here in Australia, when they're awarding a life sentence, it's a bit different to Ireland. They set down a period, what they call a non-parole period, which is essentially a minimum amount of time that you have to serve in prison attached to that life sentence. And that can range from absolutely anything, depending on a number of factors and any reasons for leniency and so on. In the case of Adrian Bailey, Mr. Justice Geoffrey Nettle found it very difficult to find any factors to sway in Bailey's favour, and he set down a minimum non-parole period of 35 years, which means Bailey must serve 35 years in jail before he'll be considered for release. It doesn't mean he'll definitely be let out after 35 years. It could be longer than that, but it's a minimum of 35 years. And he said the only thing that was swaying in Bailey's favour was that he had pleaded guilty. The judge said that was done at a late stage. It wasn't done initially. And in fact, Bailey went through great efforts to deny any involvement in this crime, even falsifying his diary to try and provide himself with his own alibi. But the judge said in that pleading guilty a couple of months ago, Adrian Bailey had saved the state of Victoria the cost of a lengthy trial, but also had saved Jill's husband and family a lot of hurt and anguish and the trauma that would have been involved for them in sitting through such a trial.
Was the court told anything more, Katrina, about what happened on the night that Jill Marr died?
Yeah, we learned a little bit more about what happened because when Judge Nettle was handing down the sentence, he actually referred to excerpts from the interview that Adrian Bailey gave to police over the course of a number of hours, 4 or 5 days after Jill disappeared when he was arrested. And some of that quite disturbing when we hear about what happened from Bailey's perspective. It amounts to, in short, that he'd been out with his partner in a nightclub in Melbourne. They'd had a row and parted company. He'd gone home expecting to find her there. And when she wasn't there, he went back out looking for her. Now, he took a taxi and the taxi driver said that Bailey was so drunk he was concerned that he would vomit in the taxi cab, and so he threw him out of the taxi cab on Sydney Road, which is where Jill Marr was walking home, having said goodbye to her friends, and was walking the short distance home to the house where she, the apartment where she lived with her husband Tom. Now, we've seen on CCTV footage pictures of Adrian Bailey sprinting along this road, and his reason for doing this, he told police, was that he had decided he would jog home. Now, the judge today said he found this very hard to believe as to why a man who was so drunk that he'd been put out of a taxi car was sober enough to jog the distance home to his house. And Mr. Justice Geoffrey Nettle said he believed that this was because Adrian Bailey had spotted Jill Marr and was after her, essentially. And what happened then was we heard Adrian Bailey's account of what everyone recalls from that footage that's quite well known of Jill outside the bridal shop when we see her on her phone and Adrian Bailey coming up and there's a bit of an altercation. He says that she was upset and he stopped to try and help her, and he told police repeatedly that he was just trying to do the right thing. She told him to F off, essentially, and he said this made him very annoyed, but he walked off. She was walking behind him because it was on her way home, and he said she told him to F off again, and this made him even more annoyed, and it was at that point that he decided then to drag her into a laneway, and he raped her extremely violently, we heard today. When the rape was over then, she got annoyed, obviously, with him and threatened to call the police and hit him with his mobile her mobile phone, he said, at which point he says she fell over and hit her head on a curb, and then he strangled her, and he didn't know what to do, so he left the body there and went home to his house and came back with another car and a shovel. And as we know, then he drove some distance outside Melbourne, where he buried the body of Jill Marr. He then the following day washed his car inside and out, and the day after that changed all the tyres on his car. Now, he says he had pre-arranged to change these tyres on his car. He was due to have the Australian equivalent of the NCT. But there was lots of details like that as to Adrian Bailey's account of what happened that night. It must be said that the judge essentially said he didn't quite buy a lot of what Adrian Bailey had said, and he said that he was evidently a man who derived sadistic pleasure from hurting women, and that he was determined to have his way with Jill one way or the other, and matters were just made worse when she became annoyed with him. He made a lot of very strong comments, saying that in terms of moral culpability, the killing of Jill Marr ranked amongst the worst kind conceivable, and that nothing short of a life sentence would suffice for Adrian Bailey, and thus that's what he handed down.
We'll talk some more later on in the programme, Katrina, about the reaction of Jill Marr's family, but can you give us a brief sense of what they had to say?
Yes, her mum, dad, brother and husband Tom are all in court today. They remained very composed throughout, as I say, the kind of 45 or 50 minutes that the court sitting lasted for. They then came out to the awaiting media pack to make a short statement afterwards, very, very short. They just said, you know, their Jill was never coming home, nothing was going to change that, but that justice had been done, and they thanked the police and the prosecution service for all they had done in bringing Adrian Bailey to this position today of having a life sentence with a minimum 35 years handed down.
Katrina Perry in Melbourne.